not like we look at Jesus as some great man who lived, and then once upon a time, Jesus said these things, and we should really listen to him and follow because he was a great man. There were lots of great people who have lived on the face of this earth and said some great things, very valuable things, and we should listen and learn from that. But it's not the same thing about Jesus. It's not that once upon a time Jesus lived and he said these things, but Jesus still lives because he is resurrected from the death, and we celebrated that resurrection day not too long ago. And so Jesus still speaks to our hearts and our minds if we listen to him, if we open our hearts and open our minds. But there are lots of things, you know, Jesus has said and done and are written in the Word of God, and that's the reason we read the Word of God called Bible and learn from that. So today, last week we talked about, we're focusing on the idea of being blessed. Not just ourselves, but how to bless others in our life. And so we hear this word, you know, we got to bless. We use this term, bless your heart, you know, blessings on you. I use that word all the time. And more we use that word, many times we don't understand what we are really talking about. And we kind of lose the meaning of that. But today, I just want to kind of really focus on and understand why it is important to bless people, not only in our family, not only in our church, but in our community, people who we do not know. It is important for us to bless them. Now, it is not just a good and noble idea that we got to do that, but it is important to really understand that. And in order to understand that, we want to kind of talk about what Jesus said about that. But before that, you know, we kind of understand Jesus as, you know, when I say Jesus was a superhero, we are just kind of limiting him. He was God himself. But for our understanding, just for our human understanding, you know, Jesus is our hero. Jesus is a superhero. Jesus is our God himself. And he has created this universe. He has created us. And he's present in our lives. So it's very important. And every time there is a good superhero, there is a villain that is involved. So for Superman, who was the villain there? Yeah, I'll take that. For Batman? For Batman? Joker, right? And for Spider-Man, there was a Green Goblin or something, somebody. Like. There are lots of them. Yeah, you know. Logan, that's great, man. That's great. Thank you for helping me in preaching today. So that's great. You know, for Jesus, you know who were the villains for Jesus? All the religious people. They were Pharisees. They were out to get him. And they were just out to get him. And many times Pharisees asked Jesus trick questions. And so they would ask him, they would follow Jesus everywhere he would go. They would watch his miracles. They would intently listen to Jesus, what he was speaking. And they would try to catch him in his words. You know, Jesus, you said that. And many times in the Bible, if we read in the New Testament, you will find these Pharisees were following him and asking him trick question. And today, that trick question comes from Luke chapter 10, and there is an example of that. And, you know, the trick question is like, you know, if we ask the trick question, for example, if we say, how many letters are in the English alphabet, what would you say? 20? 26. But I'm a Pharisee. I want to ask you a trick question. So I may have meant by how many letters are there in an English word, and that is 7. But in alphabet, if you spell alphabet, English alphabet, if you spell alphabet, it's 8 words. So I got you, Matthew. You know? And that's what Pharisees did. They would ask Jesus trick question, and they would just wanted to trap him into this trick question. And here is the question this Pharisees asked in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And it's a trick question. And the Pharisees were expert of the laws, and they knew everything. And they were kind of people who were, who knew the stuff. And instead of, they had a great understanding of the law and everything that was written. And they asked him this question, and this is the question they asked to Jesus. And they said, "Teacher," he asked, the Pharisee asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Pharisee comes, and Jesus is preaching and teaching, and he says, "I want to have an eternal life." And the question was, really, "I want to go to heaven and have a great eternal life, and how can I do that?" And this was definitely a trick question for, and Luke comes out and says that outright there. Luke also tells that outright that he was trying to test Jesus. It was not really that he wanted to know what is the, how can I do that, but it was a trick question. In order to really understand Pharisees, we need to know who Pharisees were. You know, Pharisees were somebody who were, the experts in the law of Moses. So they knew everything that was written in the law of Moses. And something they called, sometimes they were called lawyers. Not like the lawyers who would, but it was, they were called lawyers. And, ancient historian Josephus, who writes, and that is outside the writings of the Bible, Josephus writes that Pharisees began as a sect of Jews devoted to the strict observance of the Moses' law. And so they were the people who separated themselves and said, outside of the general people, we want to be the holy of holy. We want to follow the law to its letter. We don't want to make any mistakes. So they followed that, and they were very serious about that because they wanted to experience eternal life in heaven. And they said, man, even if we make smallest mistake, we are going to kind of fumble. But in the attempt of doing that, they became very hypocrite and fault finders in others, because they knew a lot of things, and they knew all the details of that. In fact, they believed in the two holy books. And there were two holy books. One was Hebrew Bible, which is called Tanakh, which included the Torah, which is the 5 first book of the Old Testament. And in short, Tanakh is what we would call today, and what we have today is the Old Testament. And so they knew the Old Testament inside out. I mean, they studied it in depth. They could memorize it. They could just kind of recite it. But along with that, there was a second holy book that was Talmud, and it was kind of a commentary based on Old Testament. And so they would study this another book, and the reason they would, and the Talmud was like a commentary and the opinions of people, and they will analyze whole Old Testament, and these Pharisees knew everything inside out. I just want to kind of give you a picture who they were. And with all of this, schooling they had, this Pharisee thought he could ask Jesus a trick question and get him to kind of fumble in this question. And so he asked, "How can I have eternal life?" That was his question. And Jesus answered this question with a question. And if you have your outline, I have laid it down there and all the scriptures. And And so Jesus asked this question with the question, and he kind of speaks to the Pharisee, and he says, what is written in the law? Because Pharisees are expert of the law, right? And so Jesus said, if you're asking me, how should I go to heaven and have eternal life? And we may have that question to ourselves. So Jesus is not, instead of giving them a straight answer, he's saying, so what do you think? You're an expert of the law. So tell me what is written in the law. Isn't that a fair question? You're an expert of the law. You know everything. You have studied. So in your studies, what did you find? Tell me about that. And Jesus says, what is written in the law? Just let's talk about that. And you know, he asked that question, and how do you read it? In Luke chapter 10, verse 26, Jesus asked the Pharisees that question. That you should be knowing this, man. What do you think? And so the Pharisees goes back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, in those days, not only the Pharisees, but every Jew knew that passage really well. They had memorized that passage. They knew everything inside out of that passage. And that kind of gives an answer to the question, how do you find eternal life in heaven in the Old Testament? So let's read that passage there. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this is Old Testament passage, okay? So just understand this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I have given you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames for your house and on your gates. So he says, that is what it is written in the law. In order for you to go to heaven and have an eternal life, you got to love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And not only that, you got to talk to your children. You got to make it very obvious and make it very known to everybody that you got to love your God with everything. And when you do that, you will find a way to heaven for eternal life. But not only that, they go and talk about Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, and it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so combination of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, Pharisees answers that question that you got to love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That is the first commandment. And the second is love your neighbor. Don't hold grudge against one another. Don't hate somebody, but you know, love them. And this is love your neighbor. You know, Luke chapter 10, verse 28 records him as saying, you have answered, Jesus says to them, when Pharisees answers these things through the Old Testament, Jesus comes back to them and says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. You know, interestingly, that last part, do this and you will live and you will have eternal life. So love your God and love your neighbor. And, you know, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, it says, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. And it says, I am the Lord. So God is saying, understand these two commandments and practice them. And when you do that, you will find an eternal life. And so that's what the crux of the problem is with the Pharisee, and Jesus gives them the answer in their own words, but the thing is, it is true today as well. If we love our God and if we love our neighbor, the whole thing hangs around that. And Jesus still asks us to kind of do that today. Eternal life comes not only in believing in Jesus Christ and asking for our forgiveness, but we got to love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor, and we have to find the eternal life through Jesus Christ alone and love him and love our neighbors. That is what needs to be done. It can be understood intellectually, logically, and we may not practice that. We may have forgiven, Jesus may have forgiven our sins, and we may have come to him and surrender our life and given our life, and our sins are forgiven. But somewhere we fail to love our God with all our mind, soul, strength, and everything. And the second thing is so distant that we don't know how to love our neighbor. And that is the problem, and that is what Jesus is saying to Pharisee, and Jesus is saying to us. But the Pharisees didn't really want to know how to have eternal life. That was not their interest. The Pharisees' real motive was to trap Jesus into words and really throw down the knowledge, how much knowledge they had, and all that kind of a thing. But there was a deep discussion about amongst the Pharisees and among the Jews. A discussion was about who is the neighbor. Okay, we understand we got to love God with all our heart, mind, soul. But they were really in depth talking about who is the neighbor. And they were, there was a big, discussion in those days about who is supposed to be our neighbor. And for Pharisees and for Jews in those days, they were saying, only Jews are our neighbors. If they're not Jews, they're not our neighbors. And they had excluded everybody, Samaritan, foreigners, anybody else who is not Jew is not our neighbor. And, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 really talks about that we should love our foreigners and everybody who is Samaritans and people who do not fall into the categories of Jews. And that was really the discussion, and that is what they were getting at, that as long as we love our Jews people, we are fine. Many times, many of us belong to the Church of the Nazarene, and many of us are very proud of our Nazarene church. We say, we have been all over the world, 165 countries, and we come and worship into the house of the Lord as the Nazarenes, and we go to the Nazarene camp, and we go to the Nazarene whatever events, and we even go, some of our holy ones go to the district assembly even. And we just kind of say, man, I'm such a proud Nazarenes. We sometimes put ourselves ahead of being the child of God and say we are so proud of being that. And sometimes with a good intention, we stumble into become like a Pharisees. And if you're not part of our clan, we don't care about you. As long as you're Jews, as long as you're a Nazarene, as long as you're a Christian, we want to love you and we want to bless you and we want to be considered as our neighbors because it's very easy. And that is what these Pharisees were talking about, and they were saying that that, you know, the Jews are the only our neighbors. Anything outside of that, we don't care about them. And they're kind of going back and forth amongst themselves and with Jesus. And the real question then comes down to, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And so Jesus kind of answers this time, not with a question, but with the story. And that story is the story of a Good Samaritan. It's a very powerful story. We all know about this story, and Jesus illustrates his principle through this Good Samaritan. And let's read that with the fresh eyes, with the open heart. I think lots of us know about this story. We know, you probably have heard this story, but let's focus a little bit today for a few minutes and read this story and what it says. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 and 37, it says, in reply, Jesus said, and he gives this story to Samaritans and the people, and he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine on his wounds, and then he put a man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said to them. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to this man who fell into the hands of robbers? Jesus asked this question. Which of this man was a neighbor to the man who fell and was in need? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, now go and do likewise. So Jesus answered the question, who is your neighbor? And he says, now you have identified who your neighbor is. Obviously, the neighbor is not just in your clan. Just Jews are not just your neighbors. The person who is in need, whoever that may be, and Samaritan became his neighbor, the person who happened to be a Jew, who was a victim and who was in a ditch and who was half dead, and Samaritan guy came and became a neighbor to him. Whoever is in need is just, it's not just the Jewish people are your neighbor, and just the people who are Christian in the church are your neighbor. It's not just your Nazarene people are your neighbor, or just your family. You're so focused on your family, which you should be, but they're just not, it's not, your world doesn't start and end just with your family. Your world doesn't start and end just with your church family, or with your, you know, small bubble. But the neighbor is the one who is truly in need, and many times you do not know about that person. That is your neighbor. But the right question Jesus really prompts Pharisees to ask in that whole discussion, who is our neighbor? Because it was a big discussion going on during that time. Who is our neighbor? Jesus says, stop asking the question, who is your neighbor? Jesus is saying, ask the right question, who am I being neighbor to? I'm here. And whom am I going to be neighbor to? And who is the person who is in need, who is broken, who needs my help? And as God brings us to the person who is in need, who is broken, doesn't matter where they are from, Doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not. Doesn't matter whether they go to our church or not. Doesn't matter if they're part of family or not. If God brings us in connect and connects us to the person who is broken, who is in need, we ought to be that person's neighbor. And we heard this story over and over again. The Good Samaritan. We know this story inside out. And then Jesus says, go and do the likewise. You got to practice that. When this broken person comes to you, you got to be a neighbor to that person. Go practice that. But I want to say this thing. He says this. It sounds really great. We got to be helpful to people. We got to be neighbor to person. We got to be got to help person who is in need and all that kind of a thing. And we have heard the story of Good Samaritan, and it's many times it feels like it's a great story and it's a great way of really taking care of people who are in need, and you feel good about it, and it is all great. It is not about you feeling great about it. It is really about eternal life in heaven. It boils down to eternal life in heaven. We have heard many times, and which is the truth, that the eternal life is found when we ask for our sins forgiveness, and that is the start. We have to come to Jesus and ask for our sins forgiveness to him, and he forgives us and he takes the burden away, and we just stop there. But Jesus is saying, oh yes, I can forgive your sin. That is the start of your journey. But if you are not being a neighbor to a person in need, you're in a trouble. If you don't keep loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, it is not just one event in our life that you ask for forgiveness, you come to the altar or wherever and you surrender yourself and you ask for forgiveness of our sins and Jesus forgives our sins, and that is a one thing that happens, but there is a journey of following Jesus happens, and Jesus says that journey is as important as your forgiveness of your sins. It is an ongoing, everyday journey. We call that journey a journey of surrendered life. We surrender our life to Jesus every day, every moment, and you love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. We call that a life of holiness, a sanctifying life as we keep surrendering ourselves. We live a holy life that is pleasing to God. And that is what Jesus is saying, that you got to love me as your God, but you got to be good neighbor to person who is in need. So many times we think that this is optional, that to help people who are broken, people who are in need, it is an optional for us. If somebody comes our way who is in a deep need and is broken or scattered in their life and they need some words of encouragement in their life or whatever it is, you know, being a good neighbor is not always a phone call. Some people may need something else, and God will direct you and bring those people into your life. And as we come close to them, we got to make a decision. Am I going to be a good neighbor to them? And it is not about being an option, but Jesus is saying, you're going to heaven or not going to heaven depends upon that. Isn't that crazy? The forgiveness of our sins and then loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul and being a good neighbor to a person who comes around. And that good neighbor is not always a person who is the best friend of ours. Of course, sometimes that good friend of ours, good family friends of ours need our help. And we ought to be good friends to people near us. So sometimes we go so extreme that we start blessing people whom we don't know and being a good neighbors and become a nasty neighbors to our own people. And that is not good either. And Jesus says that you got to be neighbors. It comes easy to you to be a good neighbor, and that is expected of you. But he's saying the hard part is the people whom you do not know. And he says, go and do likewise. As this good Samaritan has done, go and do likewise. And as we think about this, God uses us as a channel of prevenient grace into the lives of people. You as a living, breathing person, God takes you and uses you as a prevenient grace into the people's life. What I mean by that is God uses the act of your blessing to open the hearts of people to Jesus. Sometimes people are resistant to know Jesus and have a relationship with God. And when we go and be a good neighbor, it opens their heart. That is a prevenient grace. And when that prevenient grace happens, it leads them to the salvation grace, and they can start having sometimes a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you become an instrument to that. And Jesus is saying that He wants all of us to be engaged in loving God and loving your neighbor. So the question today is this: who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Your next door neighbor is your neighbor? Of course, they are your neighbor. For young people, who is your neighbor? Your schoolmates and people whom you're meeting in the school and variety of people you're coming in contact and people have so many challenges, and you can be Jesus to them, being a good neighbor. It's not an option. It's not an option, but it is an issue about experiencing eternal life in heaven. Think about that. Jesus is very clear. He's answering the question of the Pharisee, how do I go to heaven? Basically. And as we answer this question to our life today, as we are sitting here, including myself, I ask myself, I'm going to heaven or not? So I ask myself, have I asked for forgiveness of my sin? Yes, I did. Do I love God with all my strength and all my heart and everything that I have? Do I love Jesus? And that is the question we need to ask. And then how about my neighbor? If somebody comes along my way who is broken, who needs my help, am I being a good neighbor or not? It's not optional. It is about experiencing our life in heaven. It is about that. So these are very serious matters that we should consider in our life. So the world is full of broken people, people of need. And God puts you in contact with those people. I'm not saying that you're going to change the whole world. Maybe you are. But start with one person at a time. And God knows what you're doing, because he knows your heart. So let's bow our heads today, give thanks to God. Today we are going to have a communion. And as we pray and give thanks to God, and as we reflect upon the word of God that has been spoken today, we ask the question, God, there are three questions we should ask. Have I asked for forgiveness of my sins to you? That's where we start. And if you have not, today is the perfect day to ask for forgiveness to God himself. Maybe during this weekend, some of the young people have had an opportunity to surrender your life and ask for forgiveness to him. But if you have not, if you have been holding back, or anybody for that matter in the church service today or watching online wants to commit their life to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of their sins, Jesus will forgive you right now, right now. If there is anybody, as we close our eyes, is there anybody here who wants to give their life to God and say, God, please forgive my sins today? Just raise your hand. Anybody here? Not only that, but do I love God with all my heart and all my strength? And am I being good neighbor to person who is in need? Because all these things combined will determine whether you spend your eternity in heaven or not. And so as we reflect on these things, let's give thanks to God. And anybody who has been right with God is welcome to the table as we take this communion today. It is between you and God. The church doesn't hold the communion back for anybody, but it is between you and God as we participate into the communion today. And as we reflect upon God today, Father, let's pray for a moment. Father in heaven, we come before you, O God, this morning. If we know that we have not been right with you and our sins are taken over our life, we want to ask for forgiveness to you, O Father God, today. But at the same time, we know that you're going to forgive us as we pray this prayer to you. Father in heaven, we also pray, O God, that maybe we are not the people on a day-to-day basis who love you with everything that we have. It is one thing that we just rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins, and it is the right thing to do. But, oh, Father, help us to answer that question in our lives, that do I love you with all our heart, with all my heart, and everything that I have? Oh, Father, we want to love you. And, oh, God, stir our hearts and minds today to love the neighbor who is in need, oh, Father God. Who needs blessings from us? Their life can be changed, and it's not an option for us, oh God, but you have commanded us to be a good neighbor. And that neighbor can be anybody. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. We praise you and we give you thanks, oh Father, for today, for your presence in the midst of us. And as we continue to worship you through the partaking of this communion with you, as we make this decision, we want to be right with you, O Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. As we prepare our hearts today to take part in the communion, we do this not as fun, not because it's something like this we have to do in the church, but we take this with a very seriousness because it has to do with our relationship with God. And you know in your heart, if you're right with God and if you're obedient to him, the table is open for anybody who is right with God. And so the table is open, and let's come and partake this in a moment. Matthew, if you will help me. Is my wife here? Is Vandana here? No. Andrew, is Andrew here? Is Andrew here? Yeah, come on up, brother. So let's do this, and whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready, just come. Take the bread and take the cup and hold it, and we will take it together this morning. So just come. Just come as you're prepared and as you're ready. As we hold these elements together, just know that we do this in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. He came into this world and he died for you and me and for the whole world on that cross. So what he did is his body was broken, and this bread represents his body, and his blood was shed for your sin and my sins and for the entire world's sins, so that when we put our faith in him and ask for forgiveness, that our sins are forgiven, and he's not dead, but he's alive and he's with us. So he said that do this in remembrance of me, what I have done for you and the change that happened in your life. And so let's do this. The body of Jesus is broken. So let's eat together that Jesus died for us on the cross. Not only that, but he shed his blood for us. And because of his blood, our sins are washed away. Let's drink this together. And let's give thanks to God because he's alive. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Because of your death and your resurrection, that our sins are forgiven. And today we learned, oh God, that as we celebrate the forgiveness of our sins, it is important for us to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. And to love our neighbor, oh Father God. Help us to do that. It's not an option. But our eternal life hangs on that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God. As we go from here, just go ahead of us and with us. And let God's blessings be upon each and every person. Let him shine his face upon you for today and for days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.